Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And that was the voice of our beloved Brian Brown, who was the founder of the Brown Briefly, and brought with it his incredibly high standards of hosting intelligent discussion of current events, always laced with humor and empathy. Brian's main concept was less is more, more or less, and he inevitably offered us a lot more. This is a very special version of the Brown Briefly. Briefly? That's easy for me to say, isn't it? Because we're short two of our members, but we've added one of our former members, Lynn Kerrigan. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Truman. Glad to be here.
I'm delighted that you're here. And thank goodness you are, because Bruce and Kevin are missing in action today.
Good Lord, Truman, it would have been just you and me.
Oh, my God. What would we have done?
We would have gotten in trouble.
You would have been like Tom and Ray Maliachi, the car talk guys.
That's right. The click and clack, the Taffet brothers. Uh-huh,
I heard your coordinated
We could have only hoped to be like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, more likely we would have crashed.
Yeah, no doubt.
F-35 mysteriously crashing out of the sky that was supposed to be undetectable.
Yeah, well, it was. That's why they couldn't find it. Hey, I guess I should introduce everybody. Sitting right next to me, of course, is my airplane partner, fellow treetop flyer aficionado and arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, high-end women's shoe salesperson, which I love, Pinkerton guard of the Pan Am's very first 747, former tort law professor.
Tart law?
Tart law. Well, he probably taught a little of that, too, didn't he? Yeah. And former Washington State Assistant Attorney General. Whew. Mr. Craig Bellis.
Wow.
It was easy for me to say.
I want to meet this guy.
Yeah, that's what I think. What was it that, Red Skelton or something, was somebody was saying. Anyway, but also, we're absolutely thrilled. Joining us in the studio, as I said, was Lynn Kerrigan, former shortstop, but was it the Dixie Debutantes?
That was my sister's team, actually.
Oh, okay.
Mine was the Midway Debutantes.
Ah, the Midway. And, well, of course, a social worker and former Brown Briefly panelist. And finally, a voice of reason here from a truly brilliant mind. It's Miss Lynn Kerrigan again. Hello,
I have a brilliant mind the way, John Nash was in that movie, A Brilliant Mind.
Oh.
Slightly crazy.
Yeah.
But when I focus, it's not too bad.
Savant-like.
That's it.
There you go.
And I did want to say, Truman, in response to Craig's introduction, the most important thing you said was purveyor of high-end women's shoes. That got my attention.
Yes, he did. How old were you when you were doing that, Craig?
I was a senior in high school and a freshman in college.
Wow. I bet you make good money at that.
I did make good money. I started out making very little money, but it was funny. I didn't realize how much a good shoe salesman selling expensive shoes could make.
So did you get, were you like on commission?
It was half and half kind of thing. You know,
minimum
wage plus commission.
Plus sort of high-end expensive shoes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And did you get tips as well?
I cannot say on the grounds that it might intimidate me.
Yeah. No, intimidate me. That's the word I was going to use. Funny. Well, hey, by the way, I am a former Alaska Airlines airline captain. I am currently an airport commissioner, and I'm sitting here with my hand on the big red switch in the Voice of Vachon's beautiful downtown Gene Bosch broadcast studio. And I'm delighted to be here. I'm sorry that our other folks didn't make it. But Lynn, what's been going on for you this week? You got anything exciting?
Oh, my gosh. I have really been immersing myself in the arts.
Oh.
And I don't know if you want all of that now or later when we kind of come back to it. But I'll
go for it.
You know, I have really sort of struggled with some physical medical problems, and yet the way I balance out all the horror in the world and my own, you know, narcissistic focus on myself is to get out in the community, and the arts are back.
Oh, yeah.
And so time. I went to see this last week, Thomas Dambo, that incredible Danish artist who's making trolls all over the world in service of teaching us all that that we're overwhelming ourselves with trash and that we can use it better to make art and statements about, you know, what in the world are we doing covering the planet with mountains and mountains of trash.
Garbage.
And he was brilliant, the things that he showed us, his slides from all over the world, just brilliant.
Was that at VCA?
Was at VCA, thank God. Yeah. And the reveal was Sunday of the troll that Vashon got. Thanks to Paul Allen, there was a big foundation that covered his doing 6 trolls for the local area.
So there's 6, I was wondering. I didn't know.
I read that there's one in Issaquah and one on Bainbridge, and I think one in West Seattle, I think in Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park. Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where the others
are. But we got the king.
We did.
We got the top of the heap.
So now there's a story that goes along with this, isn't there?
Yeah, he's got a big book, so I won't say too much about it, but it's Way of the Bird King, and he's telling a story rather than just having these random trolls.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And so we have the Bird King. I'm not quite sure why it's named for birds, but but it is crowned. And,
with birds.
Yeah.
I mean, bird cages,
And is sort of the culmination of his current work. He has plans to do 1,000 trolls over the world,
really?
He said. Yeah, he was such a wonderful speaker and reminder that, you know, art is the antidote to much of what we suffer. In the world, and can focus us, I think. And so for me, it's certainly true in the micro level. I'm just totally outside of myself and immersed in joy and vision when I go to the art. So I also got to go to the Marriage of Figaro week.
I've heard it was fabulous.
It's Mozart's one, probably most accessible and melodic and funny.
Yeah.
Funny. Thing. And both of these, I will say, were thanks to my friend Susan McClellan, who had to give away her tickets for personal reasons. But I benefited
from
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Friday last, first Friday, I guess that was a couple of weeks ago, you know, they're closing down the streets now and really focusing on the galleries and the community and art. Literally in chalk on the streets for the kids to participate in.
Fabulous.
Music is back for me. You know, both the old time and Celtic groups are back after a long hiatus due to
COVID. You're back playing, you mean, or singing?
We are.
Excellent, excellent.
We are. And the Knoat brothers, who are a famous they're brothers, so a couple of brothers from the Seattle and Gig Harbor areas, I think. They're well-known teachers are coming out here on the 25th to Mary Shackelford's and Jim Burke's to do some teaching and a concert. And
great.
There's just all manner of stuff, you know, new Celtic.
You're just full
people.
Of it today.
I am literally full of it.
This is great. Well, let's give Craig a chance to say what he's been up to, and then we'll move on into
thanks, Truman. I have to say the Oscar the Troll King. I cannot believe how quickly he was able to. Mr. Dambo was able to build that thing. Yeah. I've been working on some deck stairs for like a week, and Truman dropped over at the house the other day. I had to sign something for our airplane, and I'm there swearing.
And I could hear it as I drove in.
And he goes, "Take a break for a minute." And I go, "Okay."
Well, he has a team of like 20 people,
you've got to create that. It's such amazing. A beautiful design and everything.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So I'm impressed that they were able to get that. I know he did this. The superstructure was sort of done beforehand, but It's amazing. My artistic pursuits this week were a little more limited, a little more plebeian than some of the fancy schmancy stuff that you were
just
going
because
to.
I said opera. Come
you
on.
You did. You said opera. I went to the Coop.
Excellent.
And the Coop was just great fun. And then after we left the Coop at about 9 or 9:30, we went over to Sugar Shack and danced our you-know-what's off to publish The Quest.
Oh, excellent.
And I've never seen everybody was dancing. There was nobody sitting down.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah, it was great fun. But in addition to that, I participated in helped to moderate the Fairy Forum last night.
Which we're going to dive into in a little bit.
Yeah, right? I won't talk about that yet. But that was quite the interesting event. So I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll tell you about my week. You know, this has been the year of the appliance for Truman. Every darned appliance on my house has died. And on my boat, the water heater. I mean, everything is, I don't know what it is.
Stay away from the airplane.
Boy, no kidding. I'm not going to get close to that thing. Well, the latest is my modem. You know, I have a CenturyLink DSL, which is not real speedy anyway. And it failed.
Oh, no.
And so I got on the phone, I called them, and they said, the guy who barely spoke English said, let me test it. And so I put me on hold for hours. And then he said, well, I think it's broken. And so we'll have to get you a new one. So he sent me to someone else who put me on hold for hours. He didn't speak English either. And once I finally got to talking with him, he said, oh, well, you bought yours. That's not a rental. So I have to send you to another department.
Oh.
So when I got to the third one, I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. So I took out my phone. I turned on the hotspot. I plugged it into my computer. Baby, that thing rocks.
Wow.
So I'm just using my phone. The heck with them.
Well, I mean, you were using a tight string before that.
Yeah, between two tin cans.
Anything would be
so was an upgrade. It was an upgrade, wasn't it? Yeah.
But you know, we're hung up with that Wi-Fi. My furnace is connected. My heat pump is connected to my Wi-Fi. If it all goes out, I'm screwed.
Do you talk to your furnace quite often?
I swear at my furnace quite a bit. Yes.
I'm sure. Well, my new stove, I mean, one of the appliances I replaced was my cook stove. It talks to my the internet.
Yeah, what are you going to say to your... are you going to check on your stove and see if he's happy or she's happy?
Yes, say turn on to 450 degrees for 30 minutes and it'll do it.
As opposed to twisting it on.
Yeah, exactly. But I can do it from across the room. Woo-hoo! Yeah, okay. Yeah,
then you'll forget that it's on. It'll be on all day.
Indeed, indeed.
Spying on you, indeed. Something will be.
All right, so hey, I looked at the Today in History, of course. Some interesting stuff that are appropriate to today's politics. In 1778, the Continental Congress passed the very first budget for the United States. 1778, how about that?
And it's been almost impossible ever since.
Exactly. That's why I picked it up. And also, here's another one that's appropriate. 1796, George Washington's farewell address was published. It came out in paperback form. Came out in written form. Now here's an interesting one. 1863, the Battle of Chickamauga in Georgia. Of course, it's very close to Chattanooga. I actually toured that battlefield a while ago. Yeah, it was very interesting, really interesting. They had some reenactment guys fire off a cannon, which was pretty exciting to hear and see. But
so that's right next to the Georgia-Tennessee border, isn't it?
Yeah, very close, right. Very close. Yep. But the one thing that was really interesting about that, and they told us about during the tour, was that on September 21st, which is like 2 days further in 1863, General Benjamin Hardin Helm was killed. And what's significant about that is that he was the brother-in-law of Mary Todd Lincoln.
Is that right?
Yeah, and once he was killed, his wife, or widow, came and lived in the White House. And people were up in arms. You got this Confederate general's widow living in the White House, And Lincoln said, hey, you know, it's part of my family. And the United States is part of, I mean, the South is still part of our family. And so we have to reconcile. So that was, I thought that was pretty significant.
Interesting. You know? Yes, yeah. It is. Do you know, I was raised in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the Battle of Atlanta, which was huge, that we all hear about because of Sherman's depredations as he marched towards Savannah.
Sea.
Yeah. Was never commemorated into a battlefield because the Union and the subsequent to Lincoln, you know, Johnson and all of those were so furious at Atlanta for resisting so long. They held their perimeter for a very long time. And the Battle of Atlanta after Chickamauga and Kennesaw was a perimeter around Atlanta where the railroads cut in to Atlanta. It was such a center of commerce. And the Union forces finally broke through the southeast section where was right, the battle was largely fought right where I lived.
Wow. Really?
And I found mini balls.
Wow. Really?
Yes, yes. And Tara was supposedly down in Jonesboro, Georgia, which is a little bit more south than one of the other areas where the Rebs were coming up from the south to fight in the battle of Atlanta. But McPherson was killed in that Battle of Atlanta, and now there's a Fort McPherson there, but they were furious that that general was killed in this long resistance. So it's, that Civil War history is very interesting to me.
It is interesting. It's something that I've always been interested in. Spent, I think, three or four trips to Gettysburg and Fredericksburg and various places like that. But I hesitate to mention this to somebody from Atlanta, but you know the South lost that war.
No, they never lost in their mind.
That's
part of what's happening.
Yeah, I know.
Especially, and Lincoln, to a large degree, was responsible for that because he was so much into forgiveness and
like I was saying, trying to build a country.
Exactly. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Well, they call it the lost cause, and I think it's a big part of the Ku Klux Klan, and I've decided to call, Donald Trump the Imperial Wizard now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is very similar.
Wizard is pretty high praise.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the Grand Dragon, which is one step down.
There you go. Here, a little bit more history. 1893, New Zealand becomes the first country to grant all women the right to vote. So there you go. That's I did that for you today.
Thank you. All women, huh?
All women. Yep. Not just white women, all women. So there you go.
I was just going to say, that included all the Maoris.
Yeah.
Cool.
And one more. 1960, The Twist hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. So there you go.
And do you know why?
I do not.
Well, for two reasons. One is it had a great beat.
Yeah,
but two, it was one of the only dances in like 100 years that anybody could get out on the floor and do.
and look like an idiot.
Well,
right?
That's true, too. True. But everybody could actually get out and do the twist.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So it became very popular. And Chubby Checkers was a great ambassador.
Yes.
And still is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in the South, that was one of the first really popular black musicians to be a crossover into white radio media.
Yeah.
And so that dance craze hit everywhere, not just the black community, but also the white community.
Well, there you go.
Like Little Richard.
That's it.
Oh,
that's
right.
Yeah. Same era.
I'll be darned. Well, see, just look at the things you learn here on The Voice of Ashland. I mean, you know,
they may not be true, but we say them with confidence.
History.
That's right.
Yes, and it's ancient history.
That's true. And of course, my earlier show today, on this date, 1987 and 2015, were the Farm Aid concerts. What I find interesting about that is that the Farm Aid thing actually came out of Live Aid, and just from a comment that Bob Dylan made on the stage when he said, you know, it's a shame we can't use some of this money for our own farmers here in the U.S. And Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp and a few others said, well, hey, you know, you got a good point there. And so they put together 6 weeks later, they did Farm Aid One, and they raised, I think they raised $7 million.
Wow.
I mean, some just phenomenal amount of money. And they've been doing it ever since. So I think it's kind of interesting. It's usually in September, but they do them all over the country. Evidently, they did one out here. Richard Rodgers was telling me that they did one at the White Amphitheater, which I thought was kind of cool. Okay, well, let's get into some of our local stuff here. Let's dive right into the fairy thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
why don't you tell us about that?
The fairy forum last night, interesting. You know, a lot of people heard that there was going to be a fairy meeting, and they thought, another fairy meeting, and all people are going to do is vent and gavetch and other words. But that was not the idea. This was an attempt to... Everybody knows that the ferry service has just been horrible over the last, several months and last few years compared to what it was, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Yeah. So this was more on focusing on what are the impacts on your individual lives, and then what solutions can we come up with? And the solutions were not going to be limited to, well, let's pay the ferry workers more money or whatever. I mean, we're talking about... mind-expanding solutions, creative solutions that have nothing to do with the ferry service, but that can alleviate the heartache and the mm-hmm. tragedy, actually, mm-hmm. That's caused to teachers, students, mm-hmm. People who need health care.
That's right.
And right down the line, all the different impacts that missing a ferry or not being able to get home to your children for hours beyond when you thought you.
That's right.
And were scheduled to be there. So what we had was, we had this great meeting. There were about 120 people on Zoom and 200 people in person.
Wow.
At the high school auditorium and in the cafeteria area. And we started out with, acknowledging the guests and talking about what's going to happen. Amy Dreyer, who we had on the show,
yeah,
here a month or a couple months ago, the head of the chamber. The Chamber of Commerce, just doing a tremendous job. She was the one who was primarily responsible for putting this together and being the primary facilitator, but she wrangled me in at the last minute to help out with those duties. So what happened was after everybody was introduced, including our representatives, Emily Alvarado, Joe Fitzgibbons, who we had last week on our show here, and Joe Wynn, who we've had on the show in the past, they were introduced, and then we broke up into groups, parent group, parent in schools, commuter group, industry and subject matter experts, or people who really know about ships and ferries and things like that, who could talk to those issues,
right?
Business and employer issues, and healthcare and public health issues. So we broke up into those groups. We spent about a half hour putting out the people witnessing and testifying to the impacts, and then brainstorming to come up with various kinds of solutions. Most of them you've heard before, but it was excellent to get these back together. So what we did was we got everybody back into the theater, the hall. Into the theater area. And then we turned it over for a little while. I interviewed the three representatives because they had been making the rounds, listening in on
each of the groups.
Yeah, what was going on, and the Zoom group. So I let them make an opening statement, and then I asked them what can we do to help you give us what we need?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They addressed that. I mean, they did a pretty good job of addressing that. There's obviously they have a real problem. I don't mean to make excuses for them, but they're only three representatives.
Sure.
And there are only, what, six representatives or something that represent all of the ferry mm-hmm. Districts in the entire state. So people everywhere else in the state are not, ferries are not on their list of priorities. So they're bucking that trend, but they were very good. They did state pretty much the obvious, and it's that you've got to keep the pressure on. Mm-hmm. It can't be a one-shot deal. You've got to organize, You got to come down to the transportation committee meetings when possible. You've got to get your petitions together. You've got to have a Dick and Jane list of things that people can do to make it simple, dumb, stupid for everybody to be able to organize and get your information in and constantly put the pressure on. Get ink, get news. Get newspaper news, get television news, constantly be out there. I actually suggested, it reminds me about how old I am, about the passenger ferry protest when we had people jump in the water at the ferry dock in Seattle. And most of the people at the meeting go, what?
What?
What? And I go, it was covered thoroughly by the television channels.
Right? Yeah.
The point being that if we don't have a boat, that's the only way we can get to the island, you know.
So, Craig, even though it's in our state constitution that the roads are highways, so that kind of constitutional directive to keep those roads, highways, the waterways, supported, it sounds like a national problem we have now where we don't pay any attention to our constitutional directives.
Hmm. Except for one or two particular elements of the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. A few of the amendments that, yeah.
No, I know. The other side of that coin is we only have limited resources. We can't provide all the things that we've legislated for and the Constitution provides for, although the Constitution should take priority. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, the last time, Craig, there was a meeting big enough to go to the high school, stadium area, was the one in 87 or wherever it was when the state wanted for us to go to a bridge. And so my question to you is, do you think there are measures they are already taking and wanting a bridge to be one of the solutions here instead of our ferry system?
I don't think so. I think there are... excuse the pun, hydraulic forces that are going to press against the concept of building a bridge. I moderated that gathering of some 2,000 islanders, and it was an extraordinary group. I think maybe one person got up and was an advocate for the bridge.
Did they survive the meeting?
We had to provide security, actually, to get them out of the auditorium. Last night, there wasn't anybody that I came across that wanted a bridge.
Interesting.
Nobody was. Which brings up a whole different subject, is that I think that we've hit kind of a sweet spot as to what our desire is. We want dependable, regular ferry service. But we don't want so much ferry service that's the equivalent of a bridge. Yeah. We don't want ferries lined up back, bow to stern.
And strangers coming over.
Strange. I know, to look at Oscar the Troll. You know,
I did think that is one of the disadvantages to Oscar, and that is that he is going to be a tourist draw. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing because people will come maybe and spend their money here, which is... would love, but it's also going to be a traffic issue.
You know, and it is. You're absolutely right. When I was the president of the board of VAA then, Vashon Allied Arts, now Vashon Center for the Arts, we held a forum that people didn't quite understand because they thought we were advocating, but we weren't. We were saying, the more we advertise Vashon, the more people are going to come over. It's going to could it change? It's something we want. We just should know what we're getting ourselves into.
Yeah, yeah.
Cultural tourism is the term, and that we used. And if we want it, fine. If we don't, then we should think about that.
It was all of the funding for the building of the new facility. That's where that came up. Everybody was saying, do we really want to have this big, beautiful facility that's going to bring all these people over to the island?
Well, to me, and I want to hear what you think about this, because you know a lot about this issue. Part of what I think about is that we've been either fortunate enough or blind enough to have lived in a lovely bubble of a small-scale society here. And we both want to maintain the beauty of that, the community nature of a small place, and we want progress and maintenance and growth in some areas. How long can we have it both ways?
I'm surprised we've been actually able to keep it pretty much both ways till now. You know, we did a survey when I was the president of the community council, and it was really an effective survey, a mailed out survey where we got over 1,000 responses. You don't get 1,000 responses from survey. And one of the questions was, what do you want? What do you want for the island? And number one was to maintain the rural character of the mm-hmm. island. Number two was more local control over mm-hmm. what goes on the island. Mm-hmm. And I always thought the great irony in that is that the more rural we become in contrast to the rapidly growing urban areas that surround us, the more desire there is to put pressure, or there is more pressure put on us. The other thing is that I don't know how long, when did you come to, I'll ask you the classic question, Lynn.
When did I come?
Yeah, when did you come to the island?
1979.
Okay, 19, that's good. 1979. You know, it's the old deal. Why did you come to the island?
Better schools, more safety for my daughter.
Okay. And did you want to change the island?
Not at all. I was working at Harborview by that time, and I just realized 1979 is when I moved from Atlanta to Washington and was in Ballard for 10 years. So I actually moved here in 89.
Okay.
And so the city was deteriorating badly, terrible. Mm-hmm. Drug use in the Ballard community, needles left out in the people's yards.
I was across the street from a little park on the corner.
Yeah, and so I was fleeing.
91.
Yeah.
91 for me, for the same reasons.
You wanted the peace. You wanted the...
I desperately did.
Yeah, you wanted the rural atmosphere. And I think that most people who come to Vashon, who choose to move here and put up with the ferries, assuming they make that first year...
Exactly.
Being able to stand the ferries.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That first probationary period that most people spend on the island. They don't want to change the island either. But there is a tendency. I moved to the island in 1987. And, you know, a phone call off the island was a long-distance phone call. Mm-hmm. And people fought tooth and nail to not have cell towers put up around the island.
Right.
And for years, actually, after the passenger ferry was placed in the Washington State passenger ferry that went downtown before the King County took over, mm-hmm. For years, our island plan, growth plan, called for no ferries from Vashon to downtown Seattle.
Oh.
I think for 3 years after that ferry went in, the plan still said no ferry, because there was a fear that people in downtown Seattle would know how to get to Vashon.
You know, this brings up a point that I think is kind of interesting. I really hadn't considered before. But if you think about it, because the ferries are so bad right now, that's allowing us to maintain this moat that we have around us and to maintain this culture that we have here on the island. So if we had really great ferry service, we may not have that. You know,
that's
true. You think about that.
That actually was a thread on social media here a week or two ago.
Really,
that
yeah.
very thing. I thank God that the ferry service is
so
bad.
Crappy. Yeah.
Now that I'm just quoting. I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
saying,
I know. That's not, no, I know. That's not your opinion.
And the... I understand that approach. People who don't rely on the ferries, who rarely leave the island, who haven't run into maybe the health problems or the airplane trying to get on a flight, that kind of thing, you know, that's a luxury that you have. I mean, obviously what you want is you want to design your ferry service to provide a certain level of service and maintain that service.
Exactly.
You know, right. That people can depend on.
Well, I have to, we're going to talk about this, I think, in a little bit, about the vaudevillian show that church that yes. occurred this weekend. And one of the things that Lynn McManus, one of the participants, one of her bits was, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Washington State Ferry System. We take you wherever we want to go, when we want to go. I always thought that was...
Well, it was interesting. Yeah. There's been talk about the meeting last night. And, of course, there are naysayers who on social media go, you know, I didn't think that much. It's the same old stuff, which I didn't think it was. Yeah. The same old stuff. But be that as it may... one comment was, yeah, it started 45 minutes late and
the meeting
did. That's right. Well, it didn't start 45 minutes late, but I mean, it was, you know, anything involved with the ferries. Yeah. Hey, let me just mention a couple things that were, you know, some of the solutions that people mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from working with legislators, more specifically, is to find the pinch points, find the who you need to talk to, how you need to talk to them. You know, to be more effective. Obviously, people thought, you know, more pay for the ferry people, hire more ferry people. When I say better pay for the ferry people, the ferry workers, it's my understanding, generally can make a lot more money doing the same. The mechanics, for example, can do the same sort of thing for a lot less money. For a lot more money in other fields. And so there's not a real incentive.
You mean like merchant marine? You mean?
Yes, that exactly. Kind
of
Yeah. You know, other things like charge cars, or, you know, have fast passes so that, so you just roll on rather than
having to stop at the.
Yeah, the whole dock situation, of course, is our problems. Mm-hmm. More cameras. You know, they have camera at the South End dock, you know, but what good does that tell you? You got to know how long the line is
going up the road.
Impart any information to you. Yeah. The same thing, you know, reader boards on the highways that people can tell what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You mean like ones that are updated, like the electronic?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, you know, like you say, you know, how long is it going to take for you to get through Portland, you know,
on the highway.
Oh, right. Yeah, and they have those kind of things.
Well, what a great idea.
I mean, it's, you know, it's called 21st century technology.
Yeah, don't they have that up in the islands?
I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
Mukilteo or whatever.
Yeah,
they do.
Up in there.
Yeah,
and it's useful.
Yeah, You can at a glance you can tell how it's doing.
Right, and some other, don't let commuter tickets expire.
Yes.
Why? That is the dumbest thing.
Yeah, that is so frustrating. One, of course, is, and the one that the state legislator said that they were really working on, is working with King County to up our water taxi runs, like they just did for the West Seattle runs, which now run regularly on the weekend.
Didn't I just hear on NPR this morning that they were planning to add more noontime service?
Our run?
Yes, and weekends.
Oh, well, that's good news, because I know they just decided to add those to the West Seattle passenger ferry.
Well, I heard it when I was waking up, so I could have missed the word West Seattle.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that we have a passenger-only boat to West Seattle?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I didn't know
we
that.
We have from the very beginning.
No.
Yeah.
Passenger only?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. There has been a passenger-only ferry from the very beginning of the Seattle water taxi service.
Yeah, King County water taxi service.
But I thought that was from West Seattle to downtown. They have a... Isn't that what
you're
talking about?
Oh, I thought you meant West Seattle to Vashon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No.
Yeah, course it goes. It goes across from Alki.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. I thought you meant we had one from the island.
Well, we'll get our stuff together soon.
I know. You know. English is problematic.
Yeah.
And I get my news when I'm half asleep.
I know. Yeah, it's my first language. You know. I mean, I have trouble with it.
I understand totally.
Yeah, okay.
But there were other kinds of things. You know, more medical services on the island. The healthcare district, is kind of really, really working on. Maybe we could help out the commuters and some of the people on the island if they didn't have to leave so often.
Well, I have a friend who almost bled out because we have no urgent care, and he had a hard time getting off the island to get sewn up for an accident that,
I know. It can be horrible. And, you know, I was surprised at how many people at the meeting did not know about the helicopter insurance.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Airlift.
Yeah.
Airlift Northwest.
That's right. Which is not expensive.
Maybe helicopters and you guys as pilots is our answer.
Well, not us piloting the helicopter.
No. But you know,
boys in trees.
Yeah, boys in trees. No, but you know, truly, I mean, I'm an airport commissioner, so I'm biased. But our little airport, it can be really significant in the event of a big event.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's going to be huge. I think we can operate actually pretty good size airplanes off of that little 2000.
Operate our airplane off of there.
Yeah. And we can haul quite a bit.
Yeah.
So we could come and beg you for a ride to downtown.
No, that's not
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about private solutions. You know, back when we had the mosquito fleet and people commandeering their own boats to get people across.
Right. Sure.
You know, we have enough kayaks to have quite a little kayak.
could almost hand them out. Inflatable kayaks to get across. I'll just mention a couple more things and then we can move on.
There
was one sort of, you know, from the expert group, the industry groups. This one fellow who works at the Seattle docks in shipping, he goes, you know, we have, when a ship or ships are backed up, we institute our emergency procedures. And he said they should have emergency procedures when the boats get behind schedule or a boat is down. And institute those for just as long as they're needed to get back on schedule. And I said, well, like what? And he said, well, one period of time when pedestrians get on at the end, not two. Not one at the beginning and one at the end. Oh. And you just make sure that you can get people who are disabled onto the boat so they can use the elevators. But just things like that you do.
Little things.
Little things like that can make a big difference. The other thing is, when you get stuck on that dock, have the bathrooms open.
Yeah, duh. You know,
And maybe we could use some bathrooms on the island at the north and south end.
Well, we do have one.
Well, at the north end, yeah.
But the south end is brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're stuck.
Yep.
Well, there's a porta potty there, but I don't know if it's
Where?
There's a porta potty on the dock.
I guess I've
assumed that was for employees.
Well, you know, it could be. I don't know that to be a fact. I just know that there is one there.
Well, better bathrooms. Let's put that one.
Yeah, there you
ones
go.
with granite.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. Yeah.
So yeah, there were lots of great ideas. Let me just leave you the thought though is. You know, this is like, the fear is this is like a retreat. You know, you come out of like a board retreat or some other kind of group retreat and you're all psyched up and then 3 days later you forgot what the heck happened and nothing. Yeah. There's no execution. Well, the chamber is dedicated to executing and continuing with this, putting all the things we wrote down from all these groups, putting them together, sending them off to the appropriate individuals, continuing with these kinds of meetings, continuing the pressure in the press. So this isn't just a one-shot deal. The momentum was pretty doggone good, and I think that it's going to be kept up, and it's the only way we're going to make a difference on a major level or on some of the minor levels that we're talking about. So it takes us to get involved. If we're just a bedroom community that doesn't get involved, we're not going to have any input. I've always said, if you've ever been to a King County Council meeting or a state transportation committee, you'll see there's nobody there.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a room of 10, 20 Vashonites in one of those meetings, and you have dominated
the meeting.
And they know these people are our constituents, and they really care about this issue. And they are not going to vote for us if we don't do something.
You know, I really appreciate that you say that because we cannot quit being activists because we're in despair over the loss of so many things and so many threats to our planet. I know a lot of people that just say,
given up.
I'm just done. Nothing is going to help. And that may be true in the long, long run. But, you know, in the short run, why would you not participate in a solution? You know, it feels good. It does good things. Yeah. It tells people the government is of the people, not just...
One of the things that Michael always said before was, you know, that all politics are local.
Yes.
And it's got to start here
to
make it work.
That is the issue that I hear quite often. If certain so-and-so gets elected president, I'm leaving the country.
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying, well, you know, there is that temptation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, don't you want to fight for democracy?
Don't you want to be part of the solution?
Yes. Or people will say, well, my generation doesn't believe we'll ever have Medicare.
Yeah.
And so I say, well, if you bug out, that's just handing them the opportunity to take it away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Two comments about the whole fairy thing. The first is, you made me realize that, you know, we think of it as such a big deal here, but in the scope of the whole state, when you look at all of Eastern Washington and all of that over there, the Palouse and that whole area, we're small potatoes when it comes to the whole state, you know.
I mean, it's worse than that. It's resentment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. that too. That's one comment or one thought. And the other is, I really appreciate that you, Craig, have been involved in this as a mediator and a moderator. They couldn't have found anybody better to do that in my mind, and this is not blowing smoke here. I really believe that, and I really appreciate your bringing that to the briefly today to go through that, because this has been very enlightening for me.
Oh, thank you. And you read that just the way I wrote it.
I did. Yes, thanks. I think I misspelled or whatnot. No, seriously. It's really important, I think, and I was really impressed that they broke into groups and got individual.
Yeah, and some of those groups had 50 more, you know, people.
Yeah.
Wow. That we got anything done was kind of a
miracle. That's true. That's true.
I had the commuters, and the commuters, like, they cover the, you know, that was my
gamut, the
group
yeah.
that I did. But they were excited, and they were very wide range. Some people thought, let's not do this picayune stuff. We got to really go for the juggler. And I said, well, it's not mutually exclusive. I mean, let's think of all these different remedies and solutions. So.
Well, it's really important that you report these things to the general public, because, you know, it's great that there were so many people at the meeting, and yet we all need to understand, you know, the issues and the ideas for moving forward. So thanks for reporting on
that. Oh, and I take very little credit, but thank you. Amy Dreyer and her committee at the chamber are the ones, and they drug me in at the last minute. So cheers to them.
Good choice. Good choice in my mind. But no, I do. Amy's done just a bang up job, I think, in that executive director position. Okay. So, hey, just a couple of more items I wanted to cover locally. I don't know if any of you read the op-ed in the Beachcomber by Mary Bruno talking about the kelp farm. And I have real mixed emotions about that. The fact that it's so close to Fern Cove is a bit of an issue, and I think that was her main concern. Mm-hmm. But do you guys have any opinions? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know enough about it to comment. I missed the Beachcomber this last week. Mm-hmm. So can you encapsulate in one sentence, you know, kind of what the...
I think the main complaint is the fact that there are all these buoys and lines and, you know, all this stuff that's going to be placed in the water, and how much detritus is going to be produced by this, you know, farm, and is it going to affect the pristine nature of Fern Cove? And I mean, I think those are the concerns.
I'm in the same boat. Huh? As Lynn,
so to speak, yeah.
the ignorant speak.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. I have my concerns, but at the same time, I've heard lots of positive things about it for the environment, not just negative. So I need to learn more about that. Yeah. I have to say,
yeah. what it makes me think of is in Ellisport, we had somewhat of the same issue when a private, I guess it was a kind of a restaurant firm, proposed an oyster farm down in Tramp Harbor.
Right.
And, you know, those of us who live there said, what are they talking about? There's two rivers that exit there, and the whole squid and, you know, the fishing areas that are down there, not to mention the kids and the boats and all of that. But in particular, the way the tide works with the rivers coming in, we thought that was insane and spoke out, and it was quashed.
Right.
So I think that it's important to think ecologically as well as commercially. I can get that we're all going to be eating seaweed in the future.
Yeah. Well, we may very well be.
But we can't ruin our...
Yum.
Yeah.
We can't ruin our ecology around here.
So for me, I have two things that I think about. First of all, obviously, we want to preserve the environment, but and at the same time, I really like to see the idea of promoting commerce, you know, so that the island generates very little in the way of commerce, I mean, in, of product. We look at K2. K2 failed because, or finally failed, because you had to bring all of this material on the island, manufactured, and then take it all back off the island again, which makes no sense. You're transporting both directions. The only thing that we really have here are wood products, that we grow, and maybe this kelp farm is something that we can produce on the island, and like in the old days, our strawberry farms and that kind of egg farms.
We have our bone factory.
Yes, we do.
We do have that, and that's interesting there too, because that is a very specialized thing. They bring in a certain amount of product, and then they make a highly specialized product to put back out, which they can convert.
We're talking about those medical bones models that they use for teaching.
That's
in case anybody doesn't know.
Right.
And what happened to the tofu place?
It's still operating.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah,
all I hear
I
about is piles of smelly things out back of K2.
Yeah, well, there is that. But
tell us about church.
Okay, let's talk about it. No, it's not Great Rain anymore.
There's a little trademark or whatever sort of issue there.
All right, I give. What is it?
It's now called Church without a U in it.
Yeah, C-H-R-C-H.
It is a rebirth
of the former vaudevillian like
blank of the Great Rain.
Exactly.
Now at the very end he says, pray for
sun. Exactly. Well, I have to tell you, I was, of course, everyone was very much anticipating the show, because their expectations I think were really high, because it had been so fabulous in past
iterations.
Yeah. and I think it held up. The comments that I've heard people say this, well, it started a little bit slow, but
everybody's a critic.
No, but it could have. But I think it's because everyone's expectations were so high that they really wanted something just, you know, over the top, and it eventually got there. I mean, there were a couple of parts there. We had two fellas do Simon and Garfunkel, and that was a bit written by Richard Rodgers, by the way, that song, the lyrics to the song.
Bridge Over Troubled Waters, another little play on the ferry situation.
No kidding.
It came up to Bridge Over the Puget Waters, and the two guys they had, John Whalen was one, and I did not know the other gentleman, did you know him? No. Anyway, they came out and did Simon and Garfunkel, and Simon... The gentleman who did Simon, I mean, I swear he looked just like him. He had the mannerisms.
The smile and a fabulous voice.
Yeah, he had a wonderful voice. And anyway, it was hilarious.
What about the troll?
The troll was, in my mind, over the top, the best. John Whalen, I'm telling you, that guy, incredibly talented.
He
played Oscar the Troll King.
Oh, man.
The Bird King. And he, of course, he couldn't speak. I mean, he spoke troll. And there was, he could understand English, but he couldn't speak English. He only spoke troll. And there was one of the other players translated for him. And so, of course, it was one of those things where they would ask him a question and he would go on and on and on and on and on. This whole big thing and all these gestures. It was almost articulate. You know what I mean? You could get what he was saying. And then the guy would say, he said that was interesting. Or something. I mean, he would go on for 3 minutes and then the guy would just say one thing. But the only word
I thought we were going to have the Saturday Night Live routine where the other person who was doing the interpreting,
Garrett
went,
Morris,
louder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Garrett Morris routine. But anyway, it was absolutely hilarious. And the questions they asked, I thought, were appropriate. Well, they had a group of people interviewing him, so what it was. And
are they going to do it again?
I talked to David. I talked to David afterwards, and he said, "Yeah, we're really working on it."
Okay.
And so I'm sure they were going to put something else together.
But, I was sitting with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt, who were a part of that in the past. But Jeff is so into preparing for his show that's coming up here. Oh my gosh!
16th and 17th.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something to look for in the Beachcomber. We're going to have Jeff on the first Thursday morning scramble to talk about his show just before it occurs.
Yeah, and if you don't know, he's redoing a radio play or radio show that was done in 1926.
Right,
26.
At least, in the 20s.
Right. Yeah, 26 or 29, I can't remember, but they actually have a recording or a script of that show, and he's performing it. And
I think he's doing four shows, and they're all going to be a little different.
A little bit different, yeah.
Can I add a couple of other art things quickly?
Please.
I just want to mention that poetry is also back, and Margaret Roncone has become our new Vashon Poet Laureate.
There is
a honorific to welcome her at DIG on Sunday from 3 to 5. This is 9/24, September 24th. And, she's lovely and is starting with an island forest walk for poets to come together and take a walk around, I don't remember, Fisher Pond, I think, and write while we're in plein air. And the other thing I just want to promote for those of you liking general art is the atrium is gorgeous in the Vashon Center for the Arts. The gala fundraiser for them is happening silent auction right now. And
that's Masquerade is the theme?
Yes, the Masquerade theme. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I want to say that our visual artist, Ann Lita Shapiro, has a piece in the Fry Art Museum out there up on Capitol Hill near Swedish and Harborview that I went to after my last medical appointment to see her piece. She's having shows around the world now, Hong Kong, Istanbul.
Wow.
She's finally getting, really worldwide recognition for her beautiful cutouts and her representations of art and energy. So there's much to counter our despair and our frustrations with.
Hallelujah. Just quickly, I just got a note from Richard Rogers. Lou Mangione, if that's the way you pronounce his name, was Paul Simon in the play. He was wonderful, just wonderful. So, hey, we're just about out of time here. I do want to say next week, if I have this right, Bruce Hallman is going to be hosting. And Mike Kirk is going to be here talking about that.
Oh, Mike Kirk is going to be. Emily Alvarado. I guess she's coming up a little later.
I think it's Mike Kirk is next week, talking about the history of the Vashon Island School
That's
District.
Right. Yep.
And I was really disappointed that Bruce wasn't here today because I really wanted to hear about the new permanent exhibit
at the History Museum.
Well, anyway, so for Craig, Lynn, and myself, Truman, we certainly appreciate you joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. And Lynn, come back often.
Happy
please.
To pinch in and pitch in,
pinch hit,
and be a pinch hitter.
Anytime.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
All
Thanks
right.
for
that
coming.
That always sounds so Italian.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
Bye bye.